Good evening. I haven't been up here for a while. I'm glad to be back. I want to thank Warren for his songs. They seem to fit right into my sermon tonight. When I couldn't have been much older than 5, maybe 6, I would watch this cartoon called He-Man. Now, if you don't know about the show, it was about this really wimpy prince that had this magic sword, and sometimes his kingdom would be put in peril, and he would hold that sword up in the air, and he would say these really dumb magic words, and he would become this gigantic, muscly, barbarian guy, and he would go out and he would solve the problem. 5-year-old Justin loved that cartoon. A few weeks back, Netflix released it again. And so I got the bright idea to watch a couple episodes. And yeah, 39-year-old Justin didn't really like it. He didn't really make it through the first episode. The animation was horrible, the sound was horrible, the story was horrible. It was so bad, I couldn't believe that my parents actually let me watch this thing. Don't get me wrong, I have fond memories of the show. It taught good morals. It would teach things like believe in yourself, don't talk to strangers, the brain is better than muscles type things. Every episode, a character would come out and they would explain the moral to you, and you would go on your way, your little kid, do your little kid things. But here's the thing, though. That show was pretty annoying for anyone that was over the age of 10. I don't know how my parents could have been in the same room with it. It was just so campy. And it was literally designed as a commercial to sell toys to little boys. Not only did my parents let me watch that, but I begged them for the toys. And they gave me the toys. So I got a few of the action figures, and I had my mock battles all over the house. And what happened next, though, is what I find strange. My room was redecorated. I had a wall hanging with all of the characters on it. I had curtains made in my window. And I had sheets on my bed. I even had pillowcases that I still have today, I occasionally use. Matthew 7 and verse 11 says this: "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to the people who ask him?" Parents know how to give good gifts. I was a blessed kid, not because my parents were rich, not because I was a slightly spoiled child. I was blessed because my parents took interest in the things that I was interested in. I asked for toys. Not only did they give me He-Man toys, they gave me He-Man action play sets, He-Man sheets, He-Man pillowcases, He-Man curtains. I asked and they gave more than what I asked for. We call God our Father because he gives to us like a parent gives to us. He provides for our needs. He puts food on the table. Not just for people that love him, but for all people. In Matthew 5 and verse 45, it says that God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. God shines the sun on the just and the unjust. God loves all people. In Matthew 6, starting in verse 28, it says here, "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Whatever we are anxious about, God provides the solution. In Matthew 6 and verse 25, up a little bit earlier in the chapter, Jesus says that life is more than food. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, he says, to seek the kingdom first, to be in God's righteousness, and he will provide everything for us. These things, though, they're not wages. They are gifts from a loving Father. They're given to children that need to be told how to act, but they are still gifts. Gifts that we don't really even necessarily know we need. If you turn with me to John 3, starting in verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Jesus was given not as a wage for deeds done. He was given to a people that were separated from their God, so that if they believed in him, they can be reconciled back to him. We could never do anything worthy of the sacrifice of another person. Christ was a sacrifice of love. He was a beautiful gift given to children that had no clue what they needed. Like I said, the things that God does for us are not earned. Just like the sheets on my childhood bed were not something that I earned. They were something I needed, and they were He-Man because that's what I was interested in at the time. My parents wanted to provide for me. They wanted to make me happy. In Luke 12 and verse 32, it says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Jesus came to die because that is what God wanted for us. Not because we did something to earn it, but because God loved us enough. Loved us enough to send his own Son to die so that we could have that kingdom. Look at David as an example. God loved David more than any parent could love their child. He set David up to be a He-Man. King Saul had rejected God, and God had rejected him, so he set David up to be a prince, to be a king, to be his number one guy in all of Israel. We all know the stories of David, how he stood up to Goliath when no one else would, how he got his sling out, and how he killed the giant. We know stories about David, how he became a great general in Saul's army, and people would sing songs about him. They would say, Saul killed his thousands, and David killed his 10,000s. He became a great man. But killing giants and defeating armies are not what made David that great man. In Acts 13, Paul is preaching to the synagogue at Antioch at Bethsaida during his first missionary journey. He says this about David in Acts 13, verse 22. He says, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do my will. David was a man after God's own heart because he was willing to do the things that God wanted him to do. David was successful not because he was some kind of super barbarian or superman. He wasn't even successful because he was a great general. He was successful because God made him that way. Because David was willing to do the things that God asked. In Psalms 23, we get David's outlook on God. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David knows that God leads him to good things. He leads them to places of safety. He leads them in right paths. David also knows that when he is in bad situations, God's rod defends him against evil, and God's staff supports him against those hard times. God prepares David a table before his enemies. When his enemies are there, he doesn't have to run and hide. God sets David up to succeed. He gives him everything that he needs, more than everything that he needs. He sets David apart, and his cup overflows because God loved him. David had riches. David had power, but those things David wasn't really concerned with. In Psalms 23 and verse 6, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The things that David was concerned with were goodness and mercy, was with being in the house of the Lord. He loved God for those things, and God loved him back for it. You know, not everybody got He-Man sheets when they were a kid. Not everyone got more than they needed when they were a kid. You know, we all didn't have good parents. Some of us didn't even have parents. God will always give us more than we need. Are we, as a church, following God's example? There are kids out there that are neglected. There are kids out there that don't, without parents. You know, that example that Jesus gave in Matthew 7 and verse 11, it's kind of hard to understand if you've never been a parent or if you've never had love, if you've never experienced it. God's love is hard to understand if you don't see love ever in your life. James 1 and verse 27 says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." True religion is to show the love of God to people that have no one showing them the love of God. In Mark 12, Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is, and this is what he says. Mark 12, starting verse 29, it says, "Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Our first and greatest commandment is to love our God. Our second is to love our neighbor. If you take a look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, starting in verse 20, it says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." It's strange how these commandments are so related to each other. We cannot love God if we are not loving our brother. But then Jesus goes and makes it even harder. He tells us to love our enemies. Take a look at Luke. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 27. Jesus says this, "But I say to you, But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Jesus says to love our enemies, bless those that curse you, pray for those that abuse you, let people abuse you, let people defraud you, but treat them as you want to be treated. Church, we are Christ's body. We are his hands and feet. If people don't understand God's love, it's because they have not seen it in us. Christ's example is a hard one to live up to. In John, turn with you to John 15, starting verse 12. It says this, Jesus is speaking. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. In Romans 5 and verse 10, it says, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. I know we all know the words. Are those empty words? We get the basics. We have to love our neighbors. We have to love our enemies. When I was a kid, though, my parents showed me love by giving me more than what I expected. I have the He-Man pillowcases to prove it. How do we go beyond what our neighbors expect? How do we go beyond what our enemies expect? Christ is our example. God gives us more than just the bare minimum. We have to be following that example. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promise, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from corruption that is the world because of sinful desire. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He has given us his son to reconcile us back to him. Because Christ died for us, we can escape this world's corruption, this world's desires. Christ was willing to give it all for us. What are we willing to give for him? We have to love our brothers. We have to love our neighbors. We have to love our enemies. The way that we show that love is the way we were showed that love. Our love has to go beyond just words. Our love has to be a love that gives everything to someone else. If we don't love our brothers or our neighbors like this, if we can't love our enemies, we don't love God. In Matthew 10, 38 through 39, Jesus says, whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus wants us to take up our cross and follow him. We have to put off this life. We have to walk in the path that he set before us. That means that we have to love everyone around us, not just the people that we deem worthy, God wants us in his kingdom. He wants to be our protection and our support. He wants us to be saved from this world. That is the whole reason he gave his son. That if we believe in him, if we confess him as Lord, that if we are baptized, we can have our sins washed away and we can be saved from this world. If we do his will, he will consider us men and women after his own heart. He will do more for us than we can even imagine. If you have been struggling with loving the people around you, with loving your brother, with loving your neighbor, with loving your enemies, we need to get that fixed. The church here is here to help you in whatever way possible. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or if you need to be baptized, please come forward as we stand and sing.